we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and I hope you can hear me.
I hope so, too. We started 39 seconds late. Make note of that, Andy. And we have been dealing with technical problems, so we hope for the next 58 minutes that this holds.
And we want to wish you a happy Martin Luther King Day on Monday, when it is marked, because you won't be hearing anything about it from the White House.
What we have heard is horrible things about poor Renee Nicole Good and her wife. She was murdered by ICE in Minnesota, leaving her wife, Becca, and three kids behind. We'll talk a lot about that at the top of the show.
And six federal prosecutors in Minnesota who were pressed to investigate Renee's wife have quit in protest, and another five from the Civil Rights Division, who were told you can't do a civil rights investigation about what ICE did.
Let me just repeat that for a second. They were told to investigate Renee's widow, Becca, not the ICE guy who killed her, not anything about ICE, just the widow who was walking around with a cup of coffee in her hand.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the other big story this week, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on the constitutionality of banning trans kids from school sports.
I don't think they like us. Trump says white people have been, quote, very badly treated under the Civil Rights Act.
And it did some good things, too, he said. A California appeals court has affirmed the privacy rights of trans students pending the ongoing court challenge.
But in a Missouri decision, a draconian anti-trans law is upheld by their state's high court. This one goes really far.
These all sound a little complicated, but we'll explain them very simply.
That's what we're here for.
Yes, including talking about Florida's Governor DeSantis, who is slashing the availability of HIV drugs under the AIDS Drug Assistance Program.
We really mourn the death of pioneering Chicago gay activist Rick Garcia. He's died at the age of 69.
We just heard about this last night. It's just devastating. He was quite a guy. Alan Cumming got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and has a message for us in these troubled times that we'll play for you.
And at the Golden Globes, actors playing gay hockey players presented an award to a lesbian actor playing a psychiatrist. And Wanda Sykes sticks up for trans people in a very funny way.
Yeah, and got criticized for it, but
good.
Yeah, we appreciate what she did. So clearly the overwhelming news story of the week is the tragic murder of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis by the ICE agent Jonathan Ross. Just horrifying, and I'm sure you've seen it a billion times by now. Let's start by showing you a picture of her. There she is, according to, Christy Nome, a lunatic domestic terrorist.
Right. She was an award-winning poet, a 37-year-old mother of three. Her private Instagram account featured a flag emoji. She was a beloved member of the community, and she was there doing ICE Watch, basically along with the kind of stuff that, you're doing here in New York and with lots of other people. And, it's all about protecting their neighbors. And so,
her family described her as a devout Christian, not an activist in general. She sang in a choir, a church choir. She took youth mission trips to Northern Ireland. She was a dental assistant, a credit union employee, and an advocate for immigrants. She had just dropped her six-year-old son off at school, she and her wife, Becca. And they were driving, there they are together, Becca in front and Renee behind. They were driving home. They lived just nearby where all of this happened. And they saw that ICE was out in the streets and that there were protesters trying to document the bad deeds of ICE. And so they stopped to get involved, to videotape what was going on and to be present witnesses to it. They did not organize the protest. They did not plan to be there. They had just happened upon it and stopped by and were trying to be good citizens, keeping an eye on the invasion of Minneapolis by these violent ICE agents. The footage you see day after day of what the ICE agents are doing to people in Minneapolis is it's unbearable. And it's
domestic terrorism.
It is. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, you might as well compare it to the Iranian protests and what the Iranian guards are doing to protesters there. You could switch those images.
Except that Trump wants to bomb Iran because of what they're doing to protesters while he inflicts ICE on our cities.
It's just, it's so mind-blowing to me that the ICE agents are continuing this vicious, violent assault, you know, dragging people out of their cars at a gas station. They went into schools. They are going everywhere to try to just assault and dehumanize and now murder people in the streets.
Well, that's Renee, what they were hired to do. And most of them are like sort of insurrectionist types. They're not screened, or they are screened for that. They want those kind of people. I mean, this guy, Jonathan Ross, I mean, has a history of affirming white supremacy things and is in his account. And I mean, we might as well show the 50-second video that he took. Watch what happens.
That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you.
Change our plates every morning, just so you know. It'll be the same plate when you come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen, former fucking president. You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy.
Out of the
car.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Whoa! Oh. Bitch.
Oh,
so correction. Becca was holding a phone and using the camera, not a cup of coffee.
Right. And I haven't heard a single serious law enforcement person say anything other than this was all wrong. But and of course, many are saying it's murder. You know, the guy gets.
You're wrong. There are people who are supporting this, who think that the car hit Jonathan Ross, which is debatable at best, and other people, 30% of America supports his actions.
Well, 30%, and that's the hardcore MAGA.
But
come on. I mean, there is no excuse for him going in front of the car. No excuse for shooting in the first place. And then, as someone said, even if you could justify the first shot, he gets jostled and he shoots. The next two shots are just, I'm giving this to you, you effing B. You know, and I want to say those words. You know, that's what he called her. He's a vicious misogynist. She didn't do what he said immediately. Law enforcement officers are told, you don't shoot at people who are fleeing. It's not the death penalty.
Well, there's so much about masculinity involved in this, and so much about Becca being snarky with him as he walked around the car. And that clearly enraged him and put him in a position to want to shoot like that. And that's a very deep part of this. She, by the way, said, I don't know if you could hear her. She said, that's fine. U.S. citizen, former veteran. That was Becca, the surviving wife. And at the end, yes, he shoots three times and he says F and B, or someone says that, but it certainly appears to be him. And he walks away, gets in a car, leaves the scene. He knows that he has to absent himself rather than taking any accountability for what he has just
done. And they denied her medical care that was offered at the scene. They denied it. They wouldn't let people help her. And that took 15 minutes. And of course, she was dead. I have to read, look, I mean, this may seem obvious to you if you've been following the news, but I want to read something that Lucian Truscott wrote this week. He says, if you haven't noticed, Trump's given up on sending the National Guard into cities because they're not reliable in terms of, you know, the viciousness that he wants. So his normal people need not apply to ICE. They aren't trying to recruit people to defend the United States like regular Army and National Guard people are hired to do. They're recruiting an army of civilian stormtroopers, overpaying them. They start off with a $50,000 bonus at the, you know, when they sign.
Well, you may remember at the beginning of this administration, the huge, huge bill that they passed to fund ICE in enormous amounts.
So they're all about, and as we've said, they're all about creating repression and fear. And the only way to stop them, I mean, you have to take away this funding. I mean, and of course, the Democrats are like, oh, you know, we don't want to abolish ICE. Well, OK, then make them do their jobs like human beings.
I do want to abolish ICE, and I think lots of other people do, too. Shall we read the statement from Becca, the widow?
We're going to read. Let me just pull it up. Okay. Go ahead.
Becca Good, Renee's wife, shared the following statement. First, I want to extend my gratitude to all the people who have reached out from across the country and around the world to support our family.
This kindness of strangers is the most fitting tribute because if you ever encountered my wife, Renee Nicole Macklin Good, you know that above all else, she was kind. In fact, kindness radiated out of her.
An interpolation. You noticed her gesturing to have the cars go by in front of her and said to the guy, you know, I'm not mad at you. Back to the statement. Renee sparkled. She literally sparkled. I mean, she didn't wear glitter, but I swear she had sparkles coming out of her pores all the time. You might think it was just my love talking, but her family said the same thing. Renee was made of sunshine.
Renee lived by an overarching belief. There is kindness in the world, and we need to do everything we can to find it where it resides and nurture it where it needs to grow. Renee was a Christian who knew that all religions teach the same essential truth. We're here to love each other, care for each other, and keep each other safe and whole.
Like people have done across place and time, we moved to make a better life for ourselves. We chose Minnesota to make our home. Our whole extended road trip here, we held hands in the car, while her son drew all over the windows to pass the time and the miles.
What we found when we got here was a vibrant and welcoming community. We made friends and spread joy. And while any place we were together was home, there was a strong shared sense here in Minneapolis that we were looking out for each other. Here, I had finally found peace and safe harbor. That has been taken from me forever.
We were raising our son to believe that no matter where you come from or what you look like, all of us deserve compassion and kindness. Renee lived this belief every day. She is pure love. She is pure joy. She is pure sunshine.
On Wednesday, January 7th, we stopped to support our neighbors. We had whistles. They had guns.
Renee leaves behind three extraordinary children. The youngest is just 6 years old and already lost his father. I am now left to raise our son and to continue teaching him, as Renee believed, that there are people building a better world for him, that the people who did this had fear and anger in their hearts, and we need to show them a better way.
We thank you for the privacy you are granting our family as we grieve. We thank you for ensuring that Renee's legacy is one of kindness and love. We honor her memory by living her values, rejecting hate and choosing compassion, turning away from fear and pursuing peace, refusing division, and knowing that we must come together to build a better world where we all come home safe to the people we love.
First of all, thank you, Becca, for that statement. And now we should note that, in fact, the right wing and a lot of the world have refused to acknowledge that this was a married, loving couple and co-parents of this 6-year-old boy.
I'll say something else. I mean, in the beginning, some right wing people were like, this looks out of line, you know, and then when they heard she was a lesbian, they dumped her.
You mean out of line, like the ice guy had done the wrong
thing. It was out of line. Yeah. Yes.
And then being a lesbian becomes a, capital offense. Well, a lot of reference to partners as opposed to wives. They were literally married and raising this son together. Now, Renee had been married first to a guy with whom she had two kids who are now teenagers and are living with him in Colorado, where they came from.
And he speaks very highly of her.
Very, very. Clearly they had a good relationship. And then they divorced, I guess. She remarried a guy who is the father of the now 6-year-old son. He died, that father. And so now that Renee has been murdered, people are referring to the son, the 6-year-old, as an orphan. Well, he's not an orphan. He has a stepmother in Becca who has been his co-parent, his other mother, for some years now. And as she says in her statement, she will be raising him. So to refer to him as an orphan, technically he's lost his birth parents, but he is not an orphan. He has her, he has grandparents, and who knows how many other relatives. And the erasure of this family as a loving whole is just another horrible chapter in this story.
And, you can go through the news reports, and they vary wildly in terms of reporting it accurately. But a GoFundMe page was set up to support, quote unquote, Renee Good's wife and son. They just tried to raise $50,000. In a few days, they raised $1.5 million. And then the page was closed. The guy who set it up, Matty Weiss, said, if you're looking to donate, we encourage you to support others in need. We are grateful.
Yes, they reached their goal. Meanwhile, there is also a GoFundMe page for Jonathan Ross, the killer. That has raised $700,000. $10,000 of which comes from Bill Ackman, the billionaire hedge fund manager and close friend of Trump, who said he also wanted to donate to Renee's family, but, her page was closed. So there are people on both sides. I hate to even describe it as both sides, but it is a horrible, horrible event. And, of course, the one bright light here, aside from meeting Renee in death and finding out what a wonderful person she was, and Becca and that adorable child, is that this has brought attention to what's happening and to them as a loving lesbian family, but to the vicious cruelty of ICE.
And, you know, the Department of Justice, quote unquote, you know, made a decision early on that the only problem here was Renee. And so they said, we want her investigated and we want the wife investigated because we want to prove that they were radical activists and blah, this is part of their narrative. And so six Minnesota veteran federal prosecutors, not all that liberal in many cases, you know, they resigned. And then the Civil Rights Division, which is based, I think, in D.C., they resigned because Trump stooge Todd Blanche, the man who's trying to free Ghislaine Maxwell from prison, will not open a civil rights investigation into the actions of Jonathan Ross. He only wants to investigate the victims. So they, five people in the senior people in the department, have resigned over there. So I think what's going to happen eventually is, I mean, who are they going to have to argue their cases? I mean, I know they do very well with these Trump judges for the most part, not always. But if you've got crap lawyers, you're going to start losing a lot of cases.
Well, they have lost a lot of cases, but I think there is no end to the number of Trumpista lawyers who are willing to jump in and work for him. The FBI is now investigating Renee.
Well, you know, J.D. Vance said that the ICE agent who killed her deserves our gratitude. And of course, they're blocking out the Minneapolis and Minnesota officials from being part of the investigation.
Yeah, but Ellison, Keith Ellison, former congressman, now attorney general of Minnesota, is quite adamant about pursuing an investigation, whether the feds collaborate or not. So I trust him to be quite aggressive about that.
So, you know, there've been, you've seen that there have been tons of demonstrations in Minnesota, and we're going to show you them from around the world. But at one of them, a gay pastor there in Minneapolis said, this is Kenny Callahan. He's an MCC, Metropolitan Community Church, gay pastor. He said an agent pointed a gun in his face and made repulsive racist comments. He says, never ever saw systemic racism so blatantly in all my life as I heard that day. And they did things to him like saying, are you afraid of us now? And he said, I'm not. And he was handcuffed, put in the back of an SUV. And then the agent says, oh, you're white anyway. You wouldn't be any fun. So we're going to let you go.
Wow. And I told you ICE went into schools. They went into Roosevelt High School in the area to try to pursue any students, faculty they could grab and take away. Well, subsequently, hundreds of Roosevelt High students staged a walkout in protest. All the ICE is doing is radicalizing millions of people around the country who see what's going on and realize that they have to stand up against this.
These kids are saying, we're fighting for our neighbors who can't be out here. We just don't want this occupation in our city. One of them said, it's like genocide. We're becoming World War II all over again. Germany, 1930. I mean, these kids are, you know, educated.
Well, I'm glad there's enough education left in the schools, in spite of Trump, that they can make that comparison.
One of them said, I just asked them, don't you feel ashamed of what you're doing when you come to my school? I was crying a lot, and they just started laughing in my face, like they genuinely didn't care. Well, they don't.
They don't, but that's a perfect example of who's getting hired to be ICE and how trying to talk to them and make them be rational about any of this is often, not always, I hope, but often futile.
Well, we certainly got to get to the point where states ban them from wearing masks. I mean, even the Gestapo in Germany did not wear masks. The people in Iran who are arresting and killing people, they don't wear masks, but our thugs wear masks.
Well, you can pass all the laws you want against that, Andy, but they're just going to ignore those laws and do exactly what they want, which is what they have been doing. And who's going to stop them? The police? They're just staying away from all this.
Come on, Northrop. You're part of a group trying to stop them in New York.
What am I going to do? Tear the masks off their face?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
Well, and so there are demonstrations. You saw them this weekend all over the country. We have a picture of the big one in New York. The New York Times said this was 2,000 people. There are tens of thousands of people out there. It was one of the thousands of demonstrations against the current fascist madness. That crowd shot is by D.C. Craig. And we have another one by Jackie Rudin here of people saying, stop disappearing our neighbors. A lot of the public officials were up front there marching, but it was a very spirited crowd.
All right. Have we beaten this?
Well, I guess we should talk about the Supreme Court.
We should.
So, you know, the two cases, one out of Idaho, one out of West Virginia. This is the states that want to ban trans girls from playing girls sports. I mean, do some of the states actually say trans boys too?
You know, I was looking and I read a fair amount about this and I haven't seen any mention of trans boys.
Well, during oral arguments, one of the lawyers for the states were saying, oh, no, we're not trying to do that. Anybody can play on boys' teams.
Really? Okay.
Well, I'll tell you. Look, you know, before this took place, there was a press conference by the far right. And the people, you know, Riley Gaines and all the state AGs, and they're all saying, you know, women's rights are under attack by the radical left, and we're just trying to protect our daughters. Now, of course, nobody at the press conference said, and you keep quoting President Trump, who's now said there are only two genders, do you support him, the guy who went backstage at his beauty pageant for underage girls and relished looking at them undressing? You know, are you standing with that person? Seriously.
And sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll and God knows how many others. And it's Jennifer, whatever.
Well, look, it looks like, I mean, almost all the you know, sources say who listen. Now, I listened to the whole thing, although I have to say some of the legal arguments were a little complicated. But basically, they are keen, the court is keen on upholding these laws.
There are questions about Title IX and does it protect everybody against discrimination. The more progressive members of the court, the solid three, are trying to raise the question of shouldn't we have individual assessments of who really has an advantage, born assigned male, as opposed to those who have been taking puberty blockers and hormones and have presumably reduced their hormonal advantage. And that should be the standard, is looking at people individually. But the right wing majority seems to want to just have a blanket condemnation of
Sasha girls. Sasha Butchert, who is a Lambda legal attorney, said, I feel a little bit better than I did after the Scrimeti case, which was about banning gender affirming care for young people. Gorsuch appeared unwilling to abandon the court's Bostock ruling protecting transgender workers. And they left some outs. If they don't want to rule on this right now, there's a way to do it without totally screwing over the trans community. She said, Kavanaugh surprised me with questions that were not quite as dogmatic. There is hope. I will say, even like Alito, nobody just scoffed at the idea that there are transgender people. Of course, Trump does. And lest we forget, you know, I don't think we're going to win these cases, but Trump has already directed agencies to withdraw federal funding from schools that allow trans athletes to let play girls' sports.
It's just more cruelty in action. Who can we be really mean to and gin up public hysteria?
Well,
so we'll one suggestion from our side was, look, they don't have enough information about the actual impact of puberty blockers and hormones. We don't really know the extent to which trans girls have any physical advantage, and therefore this should be sent back to the lower courts for more research and examination of the real scientific details. And that would certainly be a better outcome than just making a blanket ban.
And in the blue states, officials and organizers are doing their best. There was a big rally. Well, it was raining and cold. I wasn't there. I'm not feeling well, as you might understand. That's why we're doing the show remotely today. But look at the trans youth organizers at the Union Square rally. There they are. And they're standing there with our Attorney General of the state of New York, Letitia James, who is always standing up for these young people. We have a video of Tish James.
I don't think you heard me. Silence is not an option. Particularly when my trans kids are under attack.
That's right.
And let me say clearly and loudly that the full force of my office stands with trans, the trans community, now and forever.
Love that, Tish.
Yes. And kudos to Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos. Obviously got a lot of money in that divorce settlement, and she is handing it out. She is giving $45 million to the Trevor Project, known for its hotline for LGBTQ youth. It's the biggest, obviously the biggest gift they've ever received, and it will keep them afloat as the administration, the Trump administration, is cutting funds to things like this.
And an update on the California question about whether teachers are required or allowed or not allowed to out trans kids in their schools to the parents using different pronouns or names. And that's gone back and forth, and it's being litigated in a big way. The last we told you was that the teachers had won the right to be able to out the kids to their parents in a lower court. But now a judge in California has stayed that ruling and is allowing and is barring any of that outing of those kids to their parents while the bigger case is being decided. And that could go on for another year at least.
That lower court judge who made that decision over trying to overturn that law is a George W. Bush appointee, most famous for striking down gun control laws, and in 2024 for shackling a teenage girl during her father's sentencing hearing, even though she was not being disruptive, conduct for which he was disciplined by the Ninth Circuit.
And speaking of bad behavior, Elon Musk is now threatening to sue for full custody of a new baby he has sired with his ex, Ashley St. Clair, because she has apologized for past anti-trans comments she made. And Elon says he now wants the baby, who's 1 year old, because he's afraid that Ashley will transition him.
Well, this is when you let people keep all that kind of money. They act like they can do whatever they want. And of course, what he does with his ex site is now a lot. It's turning into a pedophile paradise for this Grok thing, where they take photos that you've posted online of little girls and make them naked and things like that. And he's getting away with that. All right.
And Texas A&M is getting away with forbidding a teacher to teach Plato and race ideology and gender ideology in a class because it's all too woke and pro-LGBTQ.
Well, you know, going back to the Supreme Court for a second, the next thing, the big thing on trans issues that we have to deal with is the ban on trans troops. I have a little more hope for that. I mean, because it's so irrational, but they've all been thrown out. So the Human Rights Campaign held a ceremony presided over by General Stanley McChrystal, delivering remarks that said, you know, I can't express my gratitude enough for all you've done. The purpose of our, you have that picture, Rich, of McChrystal with the trans people? He said, the purpose of our military is to defend our fellow citizens. And we, that means that we've got to leverage every bit of talent the nation has. We don't care what color you are, religion, sexual orientation. We need the talent. And of course, they're just throwing people out.
Well, my fear is that this and cases like it will be decided not on the basis of whether it's rational to throw them out, but simply on the basis of whether the Secretary of Defense and the President have the right to do whatever they want. And right. We've seen the Supreme Court tend in that direction. So I'm a little worried about that.
Maybe Hegseth will be brought up on war crimes trial. The President said he believed that civil rights, he did that big interview with the Times, New York Times. He believes civil rights era protections resulted in white people being very badly treated. You know, he's always been concerned about reverse discrimination. I can remember Trump on Nightline in the early 80s. They did a thing on race with Ted Koppel. And Trump comes in there and says, what a great time to be a young black guy. The world is your oyster. You can go anywhere now.
Meanwhile, he has withdrawn the United States and funding from 60 international organizations, including 31 at the UN. These are organizations dealing with climate, women's rights, gender, reproductive rights. He's out, 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 out.
We are withdrawing from the world. We just want Greenland and Canada and maybe Mexico.
And his latest statement about Greenland, it's psychologically important to me, he said, to own Greenland. Psychologically important. If anything was revelatory, him saying that was pretty bold.
More on the Kennedy Center, the Washington National Opera decided to leave. And they've been there since 1971. Rick Grinnell, the stooge director of the center, he is a self-hating homosexual, said that ending the arrangement would give the Kennedy Center the flexibility to bring in operas from around the world. And I'm sure now they're going to want to host all the Russian opera companies.
Well, having spent some time demonstrating against Russian opera conductors and singers during the Sochi Olympics, I'm familiar with that crowd. And the administration is putting more pressure on the Smithsonian hand over all their documents about race, DEI.
They took down references to Trump's impeachment as part of the, the Cultural
National
Revolution.
Portrait Gallery.
Yeah.
But one bright light, Mary Trump got married.
Yes.
Congratulations to her, but her to protect the identity and safety of her new wife, they're not talking about her name or showing pictures of her. This is the very artsy and sly picture of the two of them at their wedding, their small wedding.
Back in October.
Yes, in October. But they're very happy.
Did you mention the Missouri Supreme Court upheld?
No.
They upheld, now this is really, they upheld the law against gender-affirming medical care for transgender adolescents and Medicaid coverage restrictions for transgender people of all ages. I hope this kind of a thing can be challenged. On what basis can you do that?
Well, it's being challenged, but Missouri is a very right-wing state in a lot of ways. I'm sorry, the Kansas City Chiefs are moving there from Kansas. No, they're moving to Kansas from Missouri. Maybe that's why.
was not so long ago, Democrat Claire McCaskill was the senator there. And then in Lugute, Indiana, they're being sued again for trying to block LGBTQ pride. They've lost in the past when they tried to do this. They keep passing new laws to try to stop it. They always lose, but they're trying to do it again. It's a new day in Virginia. Abigail Spanberger is being sworn in on January 17th, and her parade in Richmond will include Virginia Pride and Diversity Richmond.
And my nominee for political slogan of the year, although she's evidently been using this for quite a while, Mary Peltola in Alaska, who is running on the platform, Fish, Family, Freedom. I love that. And she said this is one of the seats the Democrats now are optimistic about winning in trying to take back control of the Senate. And she says that, you know, the administration is so out of touch. We tell them that gas is now $17 a gallon here, and they don't believe us. But it's true.
Now, we told you last week that Mayor Mamdani in New York swore in Lillian Bonsignori, an out lesbian, 31-year veteran of the Emergency Medical Services, which is part of the FDNY, as the fire commissioner. Well, I came across this from the Firefighters Union, Dave McCormick, who said that gay people had a deviant sexual compulsion that permeates every facet of their life. There is no room in an emergency service for such an obvious disruption to effective discipline and morale.
That's, 30 years. 30 years she was there.
That's from 1974, by the way. And he said this to stop the gay rights bill, and it was successful with the Archdiocese of New York and the Orthodox Jews who ganged up on the bill.
We should all check right back with him. But maybe this is why...
He's gone. Oh, my God. It's 1974.
All right. Well, the rumor is that CBS is not happy with Anderson Cooper, who appears on 60 Minutes, because he's not enough of an alpha male.
They should be unhappy with Tony DiCoppo, whatever his name
is. Yes. Well, we'll see how long he lasts.
Viewership of the CBS Evening News has dropped by 20%. All right.
Katie Turr, the wife, is not happy either. Right. All right, let's talk about the people we've lost.
Well, really.
Rick Garcia of Chicago, 69. He's in the Chicago LGBT Hall of Fame, inducted in 1999. Rick Garcia was this incredible activist in Chicago, so fierce, so fearless. Highly responsible for non-discrimination laws in the state, for marriage equality, co-founder of Equality Illinois.
In the late 80s, he was part of something called the Gang of Four, a group of activists that got together and finally got the gay rights ordinance passed there in 1988. Here's a montage of all the people and things that he was doing all those years. He was also a dignity Catholic activist.
Yeah.
And he started out as a teenager in St. Louis, and he was present when a theology professor started talking about the sin of homosexuality, and he lost it. He said, "Father Hanlon, you have misrepresented our church today. You need a refresher course in theology. Gay people are entitled to friendship, love, justice, according to the Catholic bishops. What you said was not friendly, loving, or just." I mean, he was very earnest and sincere, and he worked in all these movements. He was a great guy.
And fearless about speaking up. You know, when he was moved to object to something, he just plunged right in.
I knew him from Catholic circles. That's how long I've known him. And then, you know, I knew him obviously as an activist over the years. And he was a tremendous activist, only 69 years old. That's what we see when we're 72 and whatever Ann is, you know, so.
150.
Right. Well, we'll miss him.
And going. We will. It was shocking to hear of his death because he was such an enormous figure.
And then John Axelrod, who was a very prominent Boston art collector and donor to the Museum of Fine Arts, he was a victim of a vehicular homicide as he was out walking his dog on January 3rd. The alleged perp is mentally disturbed, is being held without bail. He was Axelrod was 79 and survived by his longtime partner of 42 years, Darwin Cordoba. I mean, he donated 377 pieces of American modern design to the Museum of Fine Arts. He was a beloved figure there in the Jewish community and in the gay community.
All right, moving on to international news.
Well, yeah. Data from hundreds of public bodies in England show that only 4 complaints about trans women in women's single-sex spaces were made over a period of 3 years. I mean, of course, the government over there, the Labour government, has dumped trans people and, you know, will not stand up for them. But this is one of those things that was not a problem. It's not a problem here either.
They surveyed hospitals, domestic violence shelters, restrooms, changing rooms, and asked about whether there had been incidents or complaints in between 2022 and 2024. Four showed up, and some of them were just theoretical complaints.
Right. In Australia, and by the way, the Labour government over there is failing. I mean, they're in power for several more years, but they're in the toilet in the ratings, and they're creating room for the fascist Reform Party to win.
And a survey in the U.S. asked people here whether they thought transphobia was a problem for Republicans, and by a vote of 2-1. Survey respondents said, yes, they are bigots, and this is a problem for them.
Okay. In Australia, and we had told you about Josh Cavallo, Australia's first openly gay men's footballer, but he was with the Adelaide United, and, you know, there he is, you know, proposing to his partner there on the pitch in the stadium. But he claimed he was kept out of Adelaide United's hierarchy, not because of injury, but due to his sexuality. So he has moved to the UK. Now, the guy who, the longtime chief executive of Adelaide, publicly condemned homophobic abuse. They're going to hold a Pride Cup. He says, we want everybody to feel welcome. But Josh did not feel welcome.
He overheard a lot of snickering by his teammates and was the subject of harassment and abuse. And so he's now in the Premier League in the UK.
Okay.
AIDS news.
Mpox. Oh, do you have a? Mpox cases have fallen in New York City for the second month. So they're gone down. That's good. But still get your, what do you call it? Your vaccines. If they
yes.
are.
CVS is under attack. They had been refusing to cover the long-term injectable PrEP drug, lenacapavir, that's a twice-a-year injectable. They have changed their minds. They will cover it. It's known as Yeztugo. So that's now available at CVS. But Florida is cutting its AIDS drug assistance program. And evidently, it doesn't have to. It's not that it's run out of money. It's that they've made a decision to do this.
It's just that they hate us.
Yes, and they're going to cut about 2/3 of the people out of the program by putting new limits on income eligibility. So this is going to be a real problem for people with HIV.
Well, and there's a big debate going on about whether they, as you say, whether they can do it.
Yeah. Right. And in China, they're raising the tax on condoms, making them more expensive because they're trying to promote more births. But meanwhile, of course, this is going to result in more HIV and other sexually transmitted infections because fewer people will use condoms.
Well, all right. Entertainment news?
Yes.
I, you know, we... last week we did the show and we were catching up on 3 weeks of news. And I just want to say, first of all, I have finally seen the entire series of Heated Rivalry. I don't know.
Me too.
And, you know, I guess I now know what all the fuss is about. I mean, I found it quite moving at the end, but I was particularly, everybody is talking about the main couple, but the Kip and Scott romance was really striking. Now, Scott is a pro hockey player who picks up, you know, Kip, who works as a barista, and they start an affair. But I don't want to give too much away about this because it's a great story. And it is, and also the guy playing Scott, Hunter, Francois Arnaud, is openly gay.
He was on the right there, the taller one. Yeah, I had resisted watching it. I thought, I'm not going to enjoy this. And it did start slowly. I found the first couple of episodes were really a little tedious and not terribly engaging.
I agree.
But then it got going, and by the last couple of episodes, and there are only six, but it's been renewed for a second year, it's much more emotional and deep. And there is plenty of sex, plenty of nudity, but no penises. Well, zero penises. A lot of rear ends, but no penises.
We don't have penises or rear ends on this show.
Well, we have them, but we're not showing them.
We're not allowed to. And I neglected to say when we talk about this, this show, it's a Canadian show. It was green-lighted by the head of HBO Max, who is an out gay man. That makes a difference. But the phenomenon is this, how did this thing become the biggest show on HBO Max? You know, that's the, and they're all over the place, these guys. Now, Hudson Williams, who plays Shane Hollander, one of the main characters, says now there are all these sports figures reaching out to him anonymously to talk about, you know, basketball, football, everything, to talk about, you know, being in the closet in the pro sports world. And so, you know.
Well, we'd like to think that means people will come out. We're not counting on it. But there are all sorts of things about this. The head of HBO Max is gay, and he was alerted to this by an HBO Max gay employee in Australia, and which I guess was showing it. But it was made in Canada by this company Crave, which made it in less than a month and spent very little money on it. Now Crave, on the basis of this, is making a lesbian softball series,
oh,
10 episodes, which...
A league of their own.
No, Slow Pitch. It has not been picked up yet, but they are... It's a mockumentary, so it should be very funny. So we're looking for that to be picked up. What else? Oh, Russia... The Heated Rivalry is illegal in Russia, of course, because it's a no promo homo country, but everybody's bootlegging it. They're finding ways to watch this. It's very popular in Russia, especially because one of the main characters is Russian, and it's all about his Russian team versus the Canadian other star.
He's Russian on the Boston team.
That's true. But yeah. He goes back to Russia to play with his Russian team, I think.
A beautiful scene where he speaks Russian to his partner. I do want to, so those two actors, the main actors, Connor Story and Hudson Williams, they were asked to present the Best Supporting Female Actor Award at the Golden Globes. We'll just show this picture. And so those two are playing gay characters. They haven't discussed their own sexuality, but they presented the award to Erin Doherty, who made such an impression on the Netflix series Adolescence and is an out lesbian. The men walked out on the stage to Chapel Roan's LGBTQ anthem, Pink Pony Club, to present the award. And when they took the stage, they said, "Hi, moms, hi, daughters," which is an acknowledgement that there's a big female fan base for the show.
I thought they were very lame in their presentation on the Golden Globes.
That's a handicappist expression, but we'll
I apologize for that, but I was not impressed. I thought they're
neophytes. I mean, this is all new to them.
Well, it wasn't. They were trying to be amusing, and it didn't work.
Okay. But Wanda Sykes worked.
Yes.
She was a presenter, and she said, "Shout out to the Golden Globes for having me. You know, there are some people that are pissed off that a queer Black woman is up here doing the job of two mediocre white guys." And then one of the nominees was for, you know, best comedic show was Ricky Gervais. Ricky, I love you for not being here, because if you win, she will dedicate the award to God and the trans community. Gervais is a famous atheist and also transphobic, and she did do that when he won. And kudos to the show's host, Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, wait, before you leave Wanda, she also got in a dig at Bill Maher and said, "We'd like to see less of you."
Absolutely. But Nikki Glaser gets up there, and this is on the CBS television network, and she declared that CBS News was America's newest place to see BS news.
BS news.
Yes. And David Ellison, the technology hero who controls it, was right there with there in the audience. He's the one who put Ms. Weiss into the controlling CBS News. What's up with Caleb Williams?
Oh, well, Caleb Williams is the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. This was a big football weekend. Caleb Williams has been very controversial for years because he is often seen in a dress and he paints his fingernails a lot. His mother is a fingernail artist, so he's always showing up with different fingernails. And we have about a minute and a half left. Right. And so he was, and the Bears won. And so that was a big deal.
Alan Cumming got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, pictured with his pals there, the actor Brian Cox and Monica Lewinsky. Do we have time for the speech? No.
No.
So it was wonderful. I'll link to it. And then there's an exhibit out in Huntington, Long Island, of the work of Emma Stebbins, carving out history. We all know the Bethesda Fountain, the Angel of the Waters. That's what she's famous for. But she also had a partner, Charlotte Cushman. That's a picture from 1860. And the show includes a bust that she did of Charlotte Cushman.
And congratulations to Amber Glenn, out pansexual figure skater who will be leading the U.S. women's Olympic team to the Olympics in Milan shortly. She won at the U.S. Nationals.
And once again, we're pretty wrung out, but we will hope to see you next week. And maybe I'll even come back into the studio.
Well, that would be nice because I got a pile of viewer mail to hand over to you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. I hope with some good news.